Good morning and greetings to all of you. In Jesus' name, welcome to everyone here. And welcome to worship, time of worship. I've been encouraged this morning as we've gathered together. My message this morning is from Matthew chapter 2. You can open your Bibles there. Thinking about a message for this morning, I was thinking about how that we're in the month of December, which when we think of the birth of Christ, not that Jesus was born on December 25, from all studies that you make, it's highly unlikely that he was born then. He could have been, but certainly it is a important event in the life of our Savior and deserves attention, I believe. And so I've chosen to look at the Matthew chapter 2, which you know is the Bible's only account of the wise men that came to Jesus, came to see Jesus. Now again, the message title, Exceeding Great Joy, comes from verse 10 here in Matthew chapter 2. Exceeding great joy. I'd like to look at the context and think about some questions. And then in the end, think about why they had exceeding great joy. And may that inspire us this morning. Inspire our hearts with the joy of Jesus. Seek an interest and desire your prayers as we look at this morning. Let's read Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. There has been years since this story, and in those years, much thought and questions about these wise men and who they were, who were the wise men. Did the wise men know anything of the scriptures? The Old Testament prophecies? Did they know anything of God? Were they worshipers of God? What directed them to come to Jerusalem? We know the account that Matthew writes. We know that his gospel was written. The primary purpose and the primary audience that he writes to was the Hebrew Christians. And as we think about Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, he starts by connecting with them by going through Jesus' genealogy in Matthew 1. He starts with Abraham and works through that. And then he gives the account about Joseph the just man. He's connecting with the Jewish people. And then he gives this account of these wise men from the east that came and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And the question that the wise men ask stands in contrast, because we don't have stands in contrast to the silence of the Israelites, the Jews. Were any of them asking this question? Did they know that there was a king born? Well, God wanted people to know it. He had sent the angels to the shepherds. We have that account in Luke. Sent the angels to tell the shepherds. There were people that were looking. We have Simeon, who God had revealed. God had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And there was others at Jerusalem. Anna was there as well when Jesus' parents brought him into the temple. Anna was there, and she told others in Jerusalem. So we know there were people there who knew that it was about that time for the Messiah to be born. They knew about Daniel's prophecy in the book of Daniel, the prophecy of the 70 weeks and of the time that was to be until Messiah was cut off. That the wise men came from the east makes us think of lands like Persia. That was to the east of Israel in the time of Jesus. Parthia was what it was called in those days. And perhaps these were Parthians who came. Perhaps they were descendants of Jews that had went into exile in the time when the Babylonians captured Daniel and his friends, and there was various times that captives were taken to Babylon, and they were exiled for 70 years. But after 70 years, some of them came back, but not all of them came back. There were those that stayed there. Well, whoever they were, we don't know exactly. But we do know it seems that because of the Greek word that this word wise men is translated from, it has that idea of men who were of high position. They were well connected. They may have been emissaries. They may have been part of a of a religion in Persia that worshipped one God. It was monotheistic. They did not worship many gods. And perhaps it was to them that God revealed this. We don't know all those things. However, they came with the knowledge that there was a king born. It's very clear as we look at this question, as they said, where is he that is born? It was not a question in their minds. They didn't come and say, has this king been born? Is he going to be born soon? They said, where is he that is born? And how did they know this? Well, it was because of what they saw, wasn't it? They said, we have seen his star in the east. That's how they knew. And here we get into another questions, lots of questions. What was this star? How did they, the star that they saw, how did they connect it to the Messiah being born? The King of the Jews being born? Did they know scriptures like Numbers 24? You can turn with me. Numbers 24. This is in part of the account of Balaam. We know Balaam, that man from Mesopotamia, who was hired by the king of Moab to come and curse Israel. He said, these people are come out of the land of Egypt, and they are numerous, and I'm scared of them. I want you to come and curse them. So Balaam, we know the story about how he... God said, don't go with them, but he went anyway. He was not willing to follow God's leading, but took his own way. And finally, when God dealt with him on the trip, God said, you can only say what I will allow you to say. And so Balaam was prophesying. He certainly was prophesying, but he wasn't saying what Balak wanted him to say. He wasn't cursing Israel. Rather, he was blessing them. Numbers 24 and verse 17. This was one of the times that Balaam opened his mouth. Verse 17 of Numbers 24, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Remember that Balaam was of Mesopotamia. He was from that east area. Now, it's true that when we think about the east, you know, we can go much farther in that direction from the land of Israel. You'd get to, you know, places eventually like China. But when you think about the star, the land of Persia, the Babylonians, they are well known for their astronomy. And so for me, it connects with that area. And the story of Balaam, did it linger in that area somehow? Did it stay with those people and they knew about this prophecy? I don't know. But here the words are, And we can sure connect it, I believe. The star out of Jacob. And what else is interesting is that, you know, as we read over that, the story there in Matthew 2 is that Herod was disturbed. Here come these men from the east, and they're asking about a king of the Jews. Well, a little bit of history on Herod. He was not a Jew. He was an Idumean. He was from the land of Idumea, which was the land of Moab. And so it seems like there's a connection with this. The land of Moab, and I'm sorry, he was not the land of Moab, but the land of Edom. He was an Edomite, Herod was. But it was in, you know, Edom and Moab were close together there. And here in Numbers 24, Edom is mentioned here. That Edom shall be a possession, and this star that rises out of Jacob, this scepter is going to smite the corners of Moab, and Edom shall be a possession, and so on. And they're going to have the dominion. Now, I doubt if Herod put that together. He may have. But he was disturbed at the wise men asking about this. But it could have been for another reason. And the fact was that Herod's father was displaced by people from Persia. And the time of the Jews that came back from Babylon, they were under governors and to appoint the Persian governors that were set up by Cyrus and Darius. And until the Greek Empire came to dominate this area. And then they were under the dominance of the Greeks, the Israelites were, until they gained their independence in the time of the Maccabees. And the Maccabees ruled and conquered that area and really had control of a large area of Israel until the Romans came. But before that happened, the Persians had a little time of control, and they displaced Herod's father. He killed him, and Herod had to run for his life. But they had come from Parthia, those people that had threatened his family. Herod had run for his life, and he went to Rome, and gained the favor of the Roman emperors, and they gave him his authority to go back to Israel and to take charge. And Herod was quite a character. As he went back there, he used his skills, his knowledge of warfare. He used trickery and a lot of things to gain control of Israel. And of course, the authority that he has ultimately came from the Romans. But here comes these Parthians again, asking about a king of the Jews. And so we see that it stirred him up. Well, I'm still talking about the wise men. And what did they know about scriptures like this? Well, we don't know. They could have been Jews, like we said before, and they would have known the scriptures. But they had seen a star in the east. Now, the question about the star, what was this star? And we don't have time this morning to go into different ideas on this. Whatever it was, they knew what it meant. I don't know if God revealed it to them or not. We know that later, I didn't read that verse, but later, after they had worshiped Jesus, an angel spoke to them and said, "You don't go back to Herod. Don't return like Herod wants you. Don't return to him." And they obeyed, and they went into their own country another way. So we know that they had a connection with the Lord in some manner. The star, one thought is perhaps that it was a coming together of two planets. Coming together of Jupiter and Saturn. And the astronomers can turn the heavens backwards in their laboratories. I can't think of the word I want. Or you go to planetarium, that's what I'm looking for. And because, you know, just as the sun goes in its circuit through the heaven, the earth and the moon, so the stars also, they change positions in the sky. And they can turn that back, and perhaps it was that. And one writer said that it's possible, this is just a possibility, that the wise men saw it in the east, because in a year that comes very close to Jesus' birth, about BC 7, BC 6, that's right when we think Jesus was born. Because Herod was still alive then. Herod died in BC 4. Or 4 BC. So, the astronomers in Persia could have seen those two planets come together very close. And they would have seen that earlier in the year, perhaps in November, and later on it happened again where they came very close. And that year was December, the beginning of December. So on to the story here. Herod says to the wise men, now you go and search diligently. I don't know if Herod, what all Herod let the chief priests know, because he had the chief priests and the leaders were very corrupt. They were almost as corrupt as Herod was. And I don't know how they were, what they all were, how connected they were, but he did not reveal to the wise men his true intentions. He said, I want to come and worship him too, which was the furthest thing from his mind. He knew what they wanted to do. They said, we have come to worship him. They made that clear from the beginning. But Herod's intention, he was being untruthful here. He intended to do to this newborn king just as he had done to other people who threatened his position as king, and that was to get rid of them. So the wise men, they had come to Jerusalem. Why? In how God revealed this to them, we don't know any of that, but they came to Jerusalem, I guess, because it was the center. It was the center of Israel. It was the capital. It's where the temple was. It was a logical place to come. But it seems that for them to come in that way, they must have stepped out in faith. You know, think about other men that had done that. Abraham was a man that came from that same area. He came from the land east of Canaan, and he followed God. God said, you go to land I'm going to show you. And Abraham did that. He went out. And Hebrews says he went out not knowing whither he went. And so the wise men, as they came to Jerusalem, it would have been, I believe, must have been a confirmation to them to understand that these people do know where the Messiah is to be born. They say he's to be born in Bethlehem. And so, as they had the blessing of Herod to go and look for this child, it says in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. And this is what, because of the astronomers, the two planets that we said perhaps had come together to form this star that they would have seen in the east, and then here all of a sudden they see it again. And they would have been traveling from Jerusalem, they would have been traveling in a direction, would have been a bit southeast. Bethlehem was just a little south and east of Jerusalem. They would have been traveling in a direction that they could have seen it. Now, that takes for granted that they were traveling in a time of the day when they could see the star. It says that the star that they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. And that's where I think this idea about that the star was these planets that come together, I think that's where that breaks down. Because it seems that there was something miraculous here that God did with this star. How the star led them and it stood over the house where Jesus was. Led them right to the house. And it's interesting, you know, we sing songs sometimes that give us this impression that the wise men followed the star all the way from the east. But when we think about the words here in verse 9, it says here that, lo, the star, which they saw in the east. It was past tense. They had seen it in the east. And now, lo, it went before them. It guided them to the place where the young child was. And so follows verse 10. This is the exceeding great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Here was the confirmation of their faith. They had come in faith to Jerusalem. They had inquired, where is the King of the Jews? He's born. We know he's born. We have seen his star. And then they're sent to Bethlehem to look for a baby. Where were they to look? In the town of Bethlehem. In the countryside of Bethlehem. And how do they know? How are we going to know which baby this is? You know, we talked in the Sunday school about finding God's will. And I appreciate what was shared, the discussion. And I think this is a picture of that, that these men went on the direction they had, the knowledge that they had, the experience that they had, and God gave them tokens along the way that were confirmations of their faith that they were going where God wanted them to go. And so they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, we'll just think about that. This exceeding great joy. This was not for their own glory. They were not joyful because now we can go back and with feathers in our hats because we have found this king. because they just may well have been emissaries of some king in the East. We don't know. You know, you think about the gifts that they carried, and you get a picture that these were men of some means. But they never lost their focus of worship. They had come to worship. And so when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, that confirmation of their faith, that God was still directing them. And they had gifts to give. I was blessed to think about the fact that as they came to where the King of the Jews was, they fell down and worshiped him. And not only was it lip service, we talk about that, you know, the words that we say, but it was an act of worship where they kneeled down. They showed that worship by their posture, by their attitude, and by their giving. They opened their treasures, it says, and presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And there's been, you know, many thoughts of those three gifts. The gold, we connect with royalty and with kings. But it, you know, it was ready money. It was a gift that Joseph and Mary could use. It was ready money. But they went further than that, and then they gave frankincense, which frankincense we associate, can be associated with Jesus as our high priest. Frankincense we think of when that was offered in the worship in the tabernacle and the temple. It was an incense that was sweet. There's consecration that is connected with frankincense. They consecrated themselves. And we consecrate ourselves to the Lord Jesus. But you know, the frankincense, after a while, it's burned up and it's gone. And so we consecrate it to Jesus now because our life is short and soon it will be gone. I remember a story of a book that someone wrote that was about the three gifts, and it, you know, it's just someone's idea, but the frankincense was given to a man who was unclean. He was not able to go to the temple to worship because he was unclean. He was a leper, and he longed to connect with God. And the frankincense, the smell of the frankincense reminded him of when he used to be able to go to the temple and worship. But after a while, the frankincense was gone. And then he felt hopeless again. So my thought is that the frankincense, in our consecration to God, let's give it to God now. Let's consecrate our life to God now. To the Lord Jesus now, because so soon our lives will be over before it's gone. Well, the myrrh is Jesus. We think of myrrh being associated with embalming or preparing bodies for burial. In the lands of the East, this was the custom, and we know that when Jesus was taken down from the cross by Joseph and Nicodemus, that they had a 100-pound weight of myrrh and aloes. It was spices that they anointed Jesus' body with and wrapped him in the linen clothes, it says, and anointed him with those spices. And so all three of those give us I think, pictures of Jesus' work, but also pictures of our worship and expressions that we give to the Lord, our material things, our money, our ready money, and we consecrate our lives to Him. And the Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Somehow I think of the myrrh in that. I was impressed too with this thought that they had come to worship. They had come to express their devotion, their love to the King of the Jews, to the newborn King, the Messiah. And in that expression, they gave something. And isn't that the true expression of love? It's easy to say, I love you. But when there's an action of giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your material goods, things that God has blessed you with, that's an expression of love that goes way beyond words. And so as we think about the birth of Jesus again this year, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.